Chapter 4, The Living Word. The problem of healing is a problem of the integrity of the Word. Many have never recognized it, but the Word is the healer today. God, in Christ, wrought a perfect redemption. In that redemption, there is perfect healing for every believer. But because of lack of knowledge of the Word, Christians everywhere are sick. Psalm 107:20 perfectly illustrates this. He sent His Word and healed them. 1 John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The 14th verse, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. That is the Word He sent. He had sent His spoken Word through the prophets. The living Word was made flesh. Now, He unveils the life-giving Word in the Gospels and the Epistles. The words that I have spoken unto you are spirit and are life. For the Logos of God is a living thing, active and more cutting than any sword with the double edge, penetrating to the very division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, scrutinizing the very thoughts and conceptions of the heart. The Word becomes a living thing only as we act upon it. The Word is God speaking. It is always a present tense fact. You might say that the Word is always now, just as God is always now. The Word is a part of God Himself. God and His Word are one, just as you and your Word are one. The Word is the will of the Father, just as Jesus, the Word made flesh, was the will of the Father during His earthly ministry. What God says is what God says will become. Had He not wanted it to be, He would not have said it. You can depend upon His Word utterly. You have depended upon institutions and men. Institutions may fail, individuals may die, nations may disintegrate, but God cannot deny Himself. Behind the Word is the integrity of God. Not only is His integrity behind the Word, but His very throne is involved in His Word. Hebrews 7:22 declares that Jesus is the surety of the new covenant. By so much also hath Jesus become the surety of a better covenant. He is back of every word from Matthew to Revelation. Every word was God-breathed. The throne upon which Jesus is seated is back of every word. Faith, hope, and mental assent. There must be a clear distinction in your mind between believing and mental assent. Believing the Word is acting on the Word. Mental assent is acknowledging the truthfulness of the Word, the integrity of the Word, but never acting upon it. Mental assent is standing outside the bakery and coveting the cake in the window. It is not possessing. Hope is not faith. It's not believing. Hope is always living in the future. Faith is always now. It's not passivity. Passivity lies quietly without action, without choice, inert. Believing is acting on the Word. Believing the Word is not only recognizing its utter truthfulness, but it's taking it to be your very own now. To act on His Word is to do His will and to act in His will. He is honored by our acting on the Word. He is dishonored by our mentally assenting to its truthfulness, by our hoping that it will become true sometime, and by our passivity that lies quietly rejoicing in the Word but has no part in it. He that believeth hath. If you believe, you have. His name is glorified by our acting on the Word. The Father is glorified by our acting on the Word. Remember that His throne is back of His Word. His integrity is involved in it. John 15:7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciples. That is the fruit of the indwelling Word, which has prompted prayers that are answered. The case stated. There are two views of healing. The most common view is that healing is not in the redemptive work of Christ, but belongs to us if we have faith enough to claim it. This belief holds that faith is the gift of God. If God gives you faith for your healing, you'll be healed. If He does not give you faith, there's no need to struggle for your healing. Your only hope is in the arm of the flesh. This view is superficial. It is the result of sense knowledge. Sense knowledge is the knowledge of natural man that is gained through the senses. It is the kind of knowledge taught in all our technical schools and universities. The other kind of knowledge is revelation knowledge. It teaches that miracles are for today. Sense knowledge repudiates it in a very large measure because it is above the knowledge of the senses. The second view of healing is that it is part of the plan of redemption, that disease came with the fall, and that sickness is a work of the adversary. Because disease came with the fall, God is the natural, logical healer. Man cannot deal with the sin problem. He cannot make himself righteous. He cannot rid himself of sin consciousness. These can only come through the finished work of Christ. God planned that when we were recreated, the recreation which comes through our receiving the nature and life of God, we would be righteous and partake of His righteousness, which is His very nature. This would give us the position of sons. The new creation is more than being baptized or confirmed. It is receiving the life and nature of the Father. Our spirits are recreated by receiving eternal life. Isaiah 53 holds the key of redemption. Jesus was made sin with our sins. Not only was He made sin with our sins, but He was made sick with our sicknesses. Natural man is called sin. 2 Corinthians 6, 14-16, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness and iniquity? Or what communion hath light with darkness? The believer is called righteousness. The unbeliever is called iniquity. He has not only committed sin, but he is sin. The believer is called light, and the unbeliever is called darkness. Just as the sinner is sin, the sick man is not only sick, but he is sickness. Sin deals with the spirit. Sickness is a spiritual thing revealed in the body. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? The believer is called Christ because Christ is a part of the body. The branch is part of the vine. It is as much part of the vine as the vine itself. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of the body being many are one body, so also is Christ. The man outside of Christ is called Belial. That perfectly agrees with 1 John 3:10. In this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. When God laid our sin on Jesus, He laid us on Jesus. He laid the whole man on Jesus. He laid His sins, His weaknesses, His infirmities and diseases, His union with the adversary on Jesus. Jesus became sin with our sin, became sick with our sickness. Isaiah 53:10, yet it pleased Jehovah to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. Another translation reads, it pleased Jehovah to crush Him with disease. He hath made Him sick. The sixth verse, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and Jehovah hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Afflicted in spirit, Jesus was made sick with our sicknesses. He was made sin with our sin. This was God's method of dealing with the sin problem. He settled the sin problem. There is no sin problem. Christ put away sin and satisfied the claims of justice for man. The real problem is the sinner problem. There is no sickness problem. There is simply a problem of the believers coming to know his inheritance in Christ. When John the Baptist said in John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, he was giving public notice that this man, whom he had baptized, was the sin substitute, the sickness substitute for the human race. Sin and sickness come from the same source. Satan is the author of both. I am sure that it is God's order that the believer should be as free from sickness as he is from sin. He should be as free from the fear of disease as he is from the condemnation of sin. God cannot see sin in the new creation, neither can he see sickness in the new creation. James wrote, is any sick among you? There should not be any sick among you, but if there is anyone sick, this tells what he should do. It was the plan of the Father that every believer should know what Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. He wants us to know that when he laid our sins and sicknesses on Jesus, and Jesus bore them away, it was to the end that sin and disease would no longer have dominion over us. He wants us to know, in the second place, that sickness and disease do not belong to the family of God. If there should be any sickness among us, it's because of a low state of knowledge of our rights and privileges in our redemption. It is due to a lack of knowledge of the fact that God, by laying our diseases on Christ, has settled the disease problem in redemption. We should be as free from the fear of sickness as we are free from the condemnation of sin. Both are of the adversary. At the new birth, sins are all remitted. The sin nature is displaced by the nature of God. Disease leaves with the sins. So the Father can see no sickness in the new creation. He put it all on Christ. When we recognize the fact that our sickness was laid on Christ, and that He bore our diseases in His body on the tree, and that by His stripes we are healed, it will be the end of the dominion of disease in our lives. But this knowledge is of no value until your heart says, surely He bore my diseases and my pains, and by His stripes I am healed, just as though you were the only sick person in the world. The Word is like God, eternal, It cannot be destroyed. He watches over it to make it good. His word brought man into being. Now he is building himself into man through the word. The word is part of himself, and it is this self that is changing the conduct of believers and bringing them into harmony with himself. He shares himself with us. He gives us his nature in the new creation. He makes himself one with us. We are united with him in the new birth. We are to take advantage of this union. His nature gives us new ability, new wisdom, and we must take advantage of it. His strength is ours. His life is ours. His health is ours. His ability is ours. Disease is Satan's work. When you tell anyone of it, you glorify him. You ignore the fact that God laid that disease upon Jesus and that he put it away. The word says that you are healed. Get used to acting on the word.